Discord server these last couple of weeks has mostly focused around people's holidays, which is great. And that seems to be most of what's on people's minds. Lots of food, lots of amazing food, some decorations. Did have a conversation somewhere about when people put up the tree and when people take down the tree. focused on the podcast. But I'm glad that so many people seem to be finding ways to enjoy the holiday this year.
Yes, and the unofficial somehow podcast book club is also going strong in the podcast server in Offline Life channel. So that's been hopping as I have been continually forcing everybody to read the book Boyfriend Material.
if you want to read more in 2021, more fiction, and you want some recommendations and a place to chat about it, then you should join up because they're having a lot of fun.
Sure. It will not be anything more official than it already is. It will just be a place to squee about things that we love, which is largely what the rest of the server is too. We just were taking over the general channel and we got shoved into another channel, which is fair. The podcast is not exactly about romance novels in published form, just in online form. But anyway, we did talk a little bit about in a couple of the places in both our podcast server and then some other spaces that we're both in about goals. And the things that Farrah and I talked about in last episode came up a few times. And it sounds to us like what really resonated with you guys the most was Farrah's idea of Lego goals. And so I would like Farrah to take a victory lap for having an idea that makes the most sense to the most people, which is wonderful because it sounds like it's really helping people, especially a long conversation about how to apply them to house cleaning.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a common... It's a really overwhelming thing that I think is not acknowledged enough, that your space, whether it's your room or a floor or an apartment or a whole house, and whether you share it with other people or not, is keeping it up is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And I think that, you know, maybe we all need to take a moment to say it's a lot of fucking work. but that also means that if you try and take on all of it, and I think one of the most common ways I see to encourage people to sort of tackle, like there's a sort of general assumption, A, that binging isn't a good way to do cleaning. Like the best way to do cleaning is to do small pieces at a time, which I'll also say it doesn't work for everyone. I know someone who literally Saturday is cleaning day. They don't clean anything else all week, not a dish. They don't vacuum, nothing gets cleaned for the week. And then on Saturday, they spend as much of the day as it takes cleaning everything. And that is what works for them. And that's amazing. I know a group of four people who have a cleaning like cabal, is that the right word? And they rotate. So they go to each of the four houses and clean the other person's house on a weekly basis. So their own house gets fully like cleaned by four people in a big rush once a month. And then the rest of it is just maintaining. So there are so many ways to approach it. But I think one of the most common things you see is these lists where it's like on Monday, you'll do the vacuuming and, you know, one load of laundry, et cetera, on Tuesday, this is what we do. And then on Fridays, we do our monthly thing or, you know, like, and there's beautiful sheets and all of that. But if you say it's January 1st and I'm going to print that out and suddenly magically be somebody who adheres to this entire list when before I was a chaos beast, I can just tell you now, it's only going to make you sad. So if that's something you want to work towards, why don't you print it out, cut off a piece of it, stick that piece up. And once that feels really good, you can cut out another piece and add it.
It's again, entirely about what works for you. And if it takes you a little while to find a system that does, that's okay. There is no right way to live your most organized life. There is just the way that works for you.
Exactly. But we did have some people feeling that motivation after the episode, and just with the holidays and New Year, some people have some extra time off. So they were like, all right, it's going to happen. We had several fridges get cleaned off, I think, including yours. Is that correct?
Yes. I was very, the top of our refrigerator was where water bottles went to die.
Mm.
So it was like a BPA graveyard up there. And I was inspired in talking, and I just looked at Mr. Flame and I said, right now, this is what we're doing right now. And we did it. And then I look over and I feel a lot better about the way I see my kitchen from my chair. So the kitchen is always a thing. Like, we have a galley kitchen and that's rough for us. We can't figure out how to organize it. Like, we still haven't figured out how it works for us. Our pantry is odd and under the stairs. It doesn't have a light. And so like one whole corner is essentially useless because I can't get to it and or ever see anything in it.
Do you know what you should get? They make these sticky touch lights that are battery powered and you just tap them and they turn on. You can stick them. They're like big, but you can stick them anywhere.
Yeah. And we had them and then they kept falling off. And so we think there's something, there might have been something funky with the paint. We moved into a house where the people smoked in it for 30 years.
Oh my God.
And we didn't know. They didn't disclose that before we moved in. And we've had so many issues with having to scrape and repaint things because of like the nicotine just clung to stuff.
Yikes.
So we're going to need to completely repaint our pantry and redo it entirely organizationally. And we know that. And right now our major problem, and maybe others of you are this way too, I think you are a little bit too fair, at least in how you're doing your flooring, is like the biggest thing we need to do, I know, is if I organize our garage, nearly the rest of my house can fall into place because everything that's unorganized about my house, I know will have a place in the new garage.
Oh yeah.
I just can't do the garage yet for X number of reasons. Like, I have to wait for spring to do it for a couple different reasons. And so I'm just sitting here like twiddling my thumbs like, okay, well this will go on a shelf in the garage, but right now it's sitting on my floor.
Yeah. Yeah. I am similar in that I'm redoing my flooring, but I can only do it sort of bits at a time because I have a life and somehow multiple jobs. So, I have like rooms that are piles of stuff that are like, once the floor is done in X room, I can redo it. Though I have found that some of the things that I can start to do is like make stacks and go through stuff and get rid of things so that a lot of the like condoing part of it is done in advance. And then when the floor is done, or the space is clean or the paint is up or whatever it is, it's like, you don't have to do the annoying sorting part. It's already sorted and in neat stacks somewhere and you can just go pop it all in. That feels really good. So maybe if you're stuck inside for the winter, you could make some sorting quarters.
Yeah, it's possible. You're much more organized as a human being than I am. I think I just live in constant chaos, but we also have the luxury of not having pets or children.
True.
So like, I don't have to dust every single day because it's just the two of us. Like, you know, we have the Roomba, which some of you heard about, my surprise of the Roomba, that goes around and dusts the hardwood floors for us. Our whole downstairs is also a hardwood floor. So that helps. But yeah, I've never been an organized person. If Mama Flame was on this call, she would tell you that it is her greatest failure as a mother and that I cannot organize things around me. And she's like fairly OCD about cleanliness. And then she birthed me this like constant chaos monster. It's her biggest befuddlement about the world, I think, how I came from her. But I'm very organized in my brain. And I think that's what matters. So
as long as it's working for you.
It works for me. However, like, this is the frustrating thing. And some of you guys said this too. I still wish my house was cleaner. I just don't know how to get it there. Yeah. So that's the step process of, okay, how do we do this? But my biggest gift to myself in 2020 was not holding myself to an Instagram standard for my house.
Yes.
And I hope that you all can do that for yourself too. I am very good at a lot of things. I am very bad at keeping my house organized. My house is clean. It would pass a health inspection. I'm not ashamed to have people over in terms of dirt, but it is definitely cluttered. And I have just decided not to care. And that's a huge thing for me. And it sounds like a lot of us are going to have some extended mental time in 2021 as well we did in 2020 to really think about what matters and what goals are achievable rather than comparative goals that we've had in the past. And I hope for all of us that we can work what's best for us, not what we think will present best to other people.
Yeah, that's a great point. And on these sorts of points of forgiving yourself, I also want to say, if you have this big burst of motivation, because it's the beginning of the year, it's a fresh start, you listened to our podcast or watched a episode of something about organizing or anything, and you're feeling really motivated and you get that fridge cleaned off and it feels really great. And then that you don't that's it. It's run out. You don't get, it doesn't stay with you. That feeling of like, oh, I'm going to accomplish something. If you kind of drift back into how you felt before, I want to make sure that you at least attempt to be proud of yourself for what you did accomplish and acknowledge that it's not the maintenance of constant motivation that is worthwhile. It's the accomplishments that you actually make. So if you did the thing, be really proud that you did the thing. And also realize that every time you have one of those moments when you're like, oh, wow, that like gave me a lot of motivation. I was able to just do something I've just been sitting on or I haven't wanted to do for a while. I think that every time we experience that, we learn something about what our like motivation triggers are. And if you're like, oh, you know, watching that TV show or something really just sort of hit it for me, then maybe you can sort of save episodes and spread them out or find other shows that give you the same thing or read other books that give you the same thing. Or maybe it's visiting other people and seeing how they've decorated their house or something, or buying a thing that you want to use in your house, but you can't use it unless you clean off the top of the fridge. Then when you have those experiences, you learn about how your personal motivation works. And that knowledge is always valuable. Even if it feels like it's going to be forever before you feel that motivated again, you still learned something. You still did the one thing. You still had that experience of motivation. You know you're capable of feeling it. So it will come back. You can do it again. And you should be grateful for the experience that you did have and forgive yourself for it not necessarily lasting for the entire year.
Absolutely. And I will say too that us on the podcast, both Ferret and myself and a lot of people on the podcast server really, really want to cheer when you accomplish your goals. And so especially if there are things that you maybe can't share with some other people in fandom, I'll also say on the Steve, Tony, Bucky Discord that Ferret and Heather and I mod, we have a brag bucket channel where we want to hear what you've accomplished and we want to cheer that along. I think we talk a lot about the fact that comments are really motivating on fic and art. And we don't talk about the fact that it would probably be really good if somebody celebrated the fact that I cleaned off my fridge and I felt a lot better when you guys were happy about it.
I kudos so, your like, new fridge.
Thank you very much. We don't get kudos for adulting, but good news. Many fandom spaces want to give you kudos for adulting. So please come and we'll help celebrate with you. And maybe that will also help that that tick over of motivation is that amount of pride that we all feel when other people are impressed by us. Not gonna lie, that's kind of what it is. So however the fandom community that is within the sound of our voices here can help you accomplish those things too, we want to. So please come find us on one of the places that I just talked about. And we will not stop talking about goal setting throughout this year. This wasn't just something that we did at New Year. We're gonna keep checking in with each other as well. Offline for sure, but we'll try to remember to do it online as well. And you guys keep checking in with us and telling us how things are going. And we want to be a part of however 2021 is the best for you. We wish that for you. And if there's ways that we can help with that, we want to.
Speaking of help on a more sort of technical perspective, we wanted to announce that the new writing word count tracker spreadsheet is available by Trisalora on Tumblr. This is the tracker that we talked about in the last episode that both Flame and I use to track our word counts. And it's the one I most highly recommend for anyone who would like to track daily word count numbers. So the link will be in the show notes, so you'll be able to click through, and the blog is Trisalora, and the link to the 2021 has been posted. I will say again, there are instructions under the Read More. If you've never used this spreadsheet before, I highly, highly, highly recommend reading the instructions. It seems like a lot. It is. It takes a little bit to set it up, but once you've figured it out, it'll work for you for the rest of the year, and you'll be able to set up next year's without having to read the instructions again. So I really recommend reading them now. At the very least, do know that the way it works is it's shared. There's a link share, a Google link shared. You have to save a copy for yourself. Because obviously if everybody tried to use it at once, it wouldn't work. So you're going to need to go to your Google and say, save a copy. So at least read that part of the instructions of how to get a copy for yourself. But I also beg you to read the rest of the instructions. If you're not an instructions person and it's giving you a challenge, I will also say this again, I'm happy to help you. I've used it for a really long time. I'm really comfortable with it. And you can even give me the share link and I'll get in there with you and help you set it up. So that's an option too.
Yeah. And last episode, I found out I've been using it incorrectly for an entire year. So
yeah. And we're not mocking you for it. We're supporting you through that.
I'm excited to download it and have Ferret help me figure out what I was doing wrong last year. And so that I can use it even more effectively this next year. So even using it in the like Diet Coke version that I used it, it was really helpful and I really liked it. So hopefully as you, if it's again, if monitoring your word count is something that you'd like to do, both of us recommend it, whether you use it properly or not.
Just to clarify, I feel like we should say that we're not recommending that you track your word counts. We are recommending that if you want to track your word counts, and Flame and I are both numbers people who like to do that kind of thing, this is the best way we know to recommend to do that. But tracking a word count is a totally a personal decision. It's not like, oh, in order to be a good writer, I need to track my word count or all the BNFs track their word counts or anything like that. It is absolutely just if you like having that statistic at the end of the year, at the end of the month or what have you, or if it keeps you motivated, it's a tool for you. But we are in no way endorsing entirely the concept of tracking word counts.
Yeah, the idea that BNFs track word count somewhere right now, Saber is having a seizure. Absolutely no way.
I think Saber might break the spreadsheet.
Yeah, I posted a fic this morning as we record this, the first of 20 chapters, and I said there's going to be 20 chapters, and her response was, "How do you know?" I was like, "Oh, we are different writers."
Oh, bless
Saber. So, God, I use that word too much. You know what? One of my intentions is to not transition with the words absolutely or so as I do. I apologize orally to all of our listeners for having just suffered through those transitions. Wow, I need to grow. As we move on thinking about our plans and goals for 2021, our next episode is actually going to be about shipping because we've covered tropes. We're now going to cover ship. We're going to do the like 35,000 foot view on it. So we're going to be talking about mono shippers, multi shippers, and poly shippers, and if anyone overlaps in those three categories. So what we'd love to know from you, and please head to our fandom feelings or the Discord server or anywhere else, we'd love to know how you identify. Are you a mono shipper? Do you only ship Stucky or Pepperoni or what have you? Are you a multi shipper where you bounce around? Are you a bicycle person in the midst of that where you bounce around, you know, to any Tony ship, but the only Steve ship you'll accept is Stucky? You know, let us know, kind of figure that out. Are you into poly ships or not? How does that work for you? We would love to know. I think Fair and I are both on record that we are multi shippers and poly shippers and read pretty widely. We have a couple that we come back home to on a regular basis, but we read pretty widely. But we want to hear from you. So please, the link to Fandom Feelings is always in the show notes. The Fandom Feelings is the anonymous way to tell us about this. But if you would like detailed diatribes that you put your name on, Twitter, Tumblr, Discord, email, find us and tell us. We'd love to hear.
We're also accepting, similarly to what we did for birthdays, if you have a poly ship or a bicycle character, say that you want to tell us in detail about what it is about that ship that gets you, or why Polly is special to you, or, you know, maybe you ship all the Avengers together as an OT6. You can give us your full love letter to a specific ship, and email is the best way for that. And we will have that right on air.
Since we are in a fresh year, we decided that one of the best ways to celebrate this was with a fresh new, I don't even know, are we calling it an event? We're calling it an event because I choose to call it so, and I'm the one talking right now. So I'm going to turn it over to Ferret for the grand announcement of Trope Off 2, the Tropening.
The Tropening, son of Trope. Trope Off round one was so much fun, and I had a great time with you guys, and the results were amazing. So I always said I was going to do round two. I need a little bit of break because it was a fair amount of management, but we are definitely doing Trope Off round two. In fact, the first poll is already live. And our first true tropes up against each other are Enemies to Lovers and Empreg.
You're coming hot with that one, Ferret. You're coming for me hot.
Coming in hard. So in case anyone doesn't know how Trope Off works, maybe you missed round one, which ran from, I want to say like August 2019 to sometime in the summer 2020. This one might be a little faster. But basically I picked 25 tropes, semi at random, semi tried to mix things up a little bit. So there was some variety in there. And I built a bracket for them, a complete tournament, if you will. And they faced off against each other in Twitter polls on a semi-regular basis. And each winner moved on. Losers went into losers. It was double elimination. So two losses and you were out. And over the course of that year-ish, we eliminated 24 tropes. And if you want to see the results, we're going to put a link to the Tumblr post where I laid it all out, the top three winners, how it all broke down. Is going to be available in our show notes, but we're talking about round two. So the way it will work is I have the list of 25 tropes that I've chosen. Huge thank you to everybody who submitted some for me. I really appreciate that. And some of them made it in, some of them are getting saved for a potential round three. I do try and kind of balance the list so that it pulls from a couple of different corners and types of tropes. So, but I will also say that I keep the list a secret from literally everybody. Nobody knows it because I can't vote. I'm the only person who can't vote in the polls because you can't vote on your own Twitter. And I'm also the only person who knows the full list because I very specifically do not want people to be influenced by the other tropes that they know are in the event. And if they have a list they can refer to, then they might try to play the game by voting for ones that they think are going to lose further down the line so that their trope can win. And I really don't want it to be that way. So I'm not going to tell you the whole list, but you do know that this first one is Enemies to Lovers versus Empreg. So those two are definitely in the running. But the way that because I also get asked sometimes, beyond getting asked what the whole list is, I also sometimes get asked what the meaning behind one of the tropes is. Like, what is this? What do you mean by this? What does Empreg mean? Do you mean like only with ABO or like gender swapping or whatever? It's how you read that. So if you were presented with two fics or two arts, you didn't know anything about them except this one tag. There's no summary, there's no other tags. All you know is this one tag and you have to click on one of the two fan works. Which one would you click on? So I'm not defining anything any further. This is how you interpret those two tropes. So yeah, it's in your hands. Just follow your heart, I think is the best way to do it. Try not to be influenced by other people's votes and it can be the stuff you like to create or the stuff that you'd like to read. It's just like, really, you look at those two and what do you pick? And that's what I want you to go with.
And I react live on air because I also have no idea what is happening. Ferret doesn't put things in the show notes so that you get my authentic reactions. So this is an entirely Ferret enterprise. I simply attempt to be the voice of the people and sometimes completely sway you all to my point of view.
The trick is to get Flame to talk about which ones she voted for after the vote is already closed so she can't affect all you guys. Maybe we'll make that a policy this time around.
Hey.
No, I'm not saying that you were like, no, I am saying that. There were campaigns. There were campaigns.
Oh no, I definitely campaigned. I definitely campaigned, but I don't actually think anyone listens to me. So I think assuming I swayed any votes is giving me far more power than I am due. Yeah. But I love playing with this just as much as the rest of you guys do. I understand there's lots of folks who don't want to be on Twitter and we get it, but always feel free to hop in the podcast server and talk and and bicker about which one is right, even if you can't vote. But I'll reiterate, the only votes that count are the ones cast on Twitter.
Yeah, I can only take the stats Twitter gives me as gospel because I don't want to accidentally count anyone twice, and Twitter does prevent you from voting more than once. So that's straight up, I just take those numbers. So you can always make a Twitter account, follow no one, lock it, and use it just for voting if you so wish. It is free. And you can use it solely for voting on Tropoff. I would be honored if you had a Twitter account just for Tropoff. And additionally, it's on my Twitter account. So that's at FestiveFerret. That's where the polls will go. So, I pretty much don't post much of anything else on Twitter. So you also won't be like, putting yourself in a, you know, you don't have to be putting up with anything of mine, except maybe the occasional pet picture, which, you know, I'm sorry if that bothers you, but that is who I am.
It's true. It is her most authentic muscle self.
So yeah, I'm like inordinately excited about this. And I love that I was able to announce Tropoff Round 2 on our episode about tropes. That's amazing. And it was really fun picking the list. And I would like to say that I don't pick the list that's like my favorite 25 tropes. I just wanted to be like kind of balanced, kind of representational. I know some of these are probably going to get like destroyed, but that's the way that it works. And if you like some tropes that maybe aren't always on the top of people's list, then you got to vote, because that's how you're going to get them pushed up the list. So we've got an unknown number of months ahead of us. I honestly don't know. I'm not going to commit to a schedule here. But you can follow me, and I don't know, Twitter probably has some kind of notification thing. So you could do that if you're very excited. I will also, one of us will post in the podcast server every time a new poll has been posted. So you can also just be in Discord and turn your Twitter off and only go to vote. And we love hearing people's conversations. And if you listen to any of my breakdowns of Tropoff Round 1, you'll know that my very favorite thing is the vast majority of people who want both in the same story. So I say again, if any of these votes prompt you to create a fan work of any kind because you wanted something that combined the two that were up against each other, please let me know, because that would bring me so much joy. And I would love to see what spawns from this competition where the result is mostly people just wanting everyone to get along, which is so sweet and so fandom. And I love you guys for it. So keep me posted. Go vote. I hate having to say follow my Twitter, because I really don't want you to feel like you need to follow my Twitter, but set up some sort of system so that you can follow them, because I do really want you to find the polls every time they come up. I would love more people to vote this time, even though we got a great turnout last time.
And we'll definitely make sure to update on the pod.
Hello, hello, fandom. I'm Only More Love, back with your events forecast. Today, I'll be sharing some information about what's going on challenge-wise in a Marvel fandom near you. Here's the usual note before I begin with the current events. You'll be able to find everything I mention in this forecast linked and explained in the show notes of each episode over on podonthesuit.com. Now, let's move on to the fun stuff. Just a friendly reminder that the fourth round of the Marvel Fluff Bingo is open for signups until March 16th. So please go grab a card to write all the fluffy tropes and get-togethers. And please note that the Marvel Holiday Fest, a prompt fest based on holiday movie plots, open to all ships and without minimum requirements, is still open for fills until January 31st. The Cap IAM.com Remix events are also ongoing, but you can still participate in Remix Madness. That's the Remix Fest, which goes on between January 10th and February 20th. Remix Madness has no minimum requirements and is open to all types of fan works. If you have questions on how remixing works, have a look at the detailed post on the Cap Iron Man community. The Com also announced its 2021 Reverse Big Bang. The event is currently open for art submissions and will remain so until February 10th. Have fun, make art, and be awesome, friends. Did you know that you can get a customized STB, Steve, Tony, Bucky, bingo card until January 31st? After that date, you'll still be able to request a generic card from February 1st through May 31st. All combinations of Steve, Bucky, and Tony are allowed, so you get to play with no less than 4 ships in any medium you want, and without requirements other than responsible tagging. Have fun, and please join the server if you feel like chatting. The Shrunky Clunks Big Bang will be opening signups on January 16th, so keep an eye on their page on Tumblr or Twitter to participate. The minimum is 10K, and posting will begin in June. The Starker Festival's blog on Tumblr is back with another one of their low-pressure challenges. For the month of January, the mods have put out a 3x3 New Beginnings mini bingo card for the community to fill. Have fun! The Thor and Loki Kinky Valentine Exchange is open for signups until January 9th, with a deadline set for February 12th and reveals on Valentine's Day. It's open to all Thor and Loki ships, so if you ship Thunder Shield, Thunder Iron, Frost Shield, Frost Iron, or a poly variation of those 4 guys, check it out. A Sam Wilson Prompt Fest has also been announced. To be sure not to miss the details and rules when they come out, be sure to give the blog a follow. That brings us to the end of your events forecast, friends. We hope to see you again next time. Until then, please be safe, and as always, happy shipping.
Well, that is it for episode 21, our very first episode of 2021. Funny how that worked out.
Huge thank you to Lahanji for our cover art, to the Pottscast staff for all that they do, and to all of you for listening. We are so excited to charge into this year with you guys.
As always, remember that you can hit us up on any of our socials. We read your comments and submissions on air, unless you don't want us to, and then tell us. For deeper chats, you can also join our Discord server. Just check the show notes for links. If you're listening on a podcast service, you can find the show notes on our website, which is podonthesuit.com, if the show notes are not showing up where you are listening.
Hope you had a safe, peaceful, and lovely holiday season. For those of you finishing up your most hectic time of the year, we hope you're getting a rest now or soon. And for those of you who are finishing up a break and are about to go back to real life, good luck. We will see all of you back for episode 22.
You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.